Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jason Ophir, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And I'm here, as always, the beautiful and talented Sherry Pang. Sherry.
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
Doing good. How has your week been going?
Well, busy. Just kind of getting things going around here and feeling the height of the energy of the eclipse, and all is good. I've been feeling very blessed, and, you know, it's just one day at a time. It's pretty intense, and, you know, with the full moon or the new moon, I don't know. I get really messed up. I think it's the new moon. Don't quote me on it, but I believe it's the new moon, and that's going to be the new moon in Leo. So that's pretty, the energy, the emotions are going to be pretty intense. And being we're both Leos, it's like, whoa, fire factors here and there. So, yeah, energy is really intense. Don't make any important decisions. Don't any, you know, kind of just stay put. Stay close to home and don't put any more effort than you need to.
Now, you're not going out to witness the eclipse, are you?
Oh, no. No, absolutely not. I'm not at all. I'm going to be running in the morning. I'm going to try and get my hiney up to running in the morning and just, you know, another day just to conquer down and try to get some things around here, around my house, and trying to get a garden, a rock garden taken care of. But, you know, no, I don't plan on crowds. I personally can deal with them, but in my own personal space, I'd rather not. What about you?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not going out at all. There's going to be too much pandemonium out there. And fortunately for me, I live close to work, so I don't really have to worry too much about the roads. But they're expecting some major gridlock out there, and I can't deal with that.
Yeah, me too. Is the gridlock? See, I don't have TV. Is the gridlock going to be there, to there, and coming back, or is it going to get worse there or back?
I think all the main arteries are going to be clogged, you know, particularly the ones that run south, like I-5. And I saw a map that said some of the roads, highways coming from the east to the west are also going to be clogged up. And it's just going to be insane. And as cool as it would be to see the eclipse, I wouldn't want to get stuck in traffic for hours.
I know, Magic said, I was on Wednesday, I saw that on the feed, that Wednesday, it wasn't even the weekend, it was on Wednesday, Magic had a 15-mile delay, 15-mile delay on their major highway just to get to Magic to see the 100% eclipse.
That's insanity. So who do we got lined up tonight?
Well, we're going to have Karen Anderson. She's a beautiful spirit. She's a personal friend of mine, and she's like a mentor to me. She's a wealth of information as far as being an animal communicator. She does do psychic mediumship, but I believe her forte is animal communication. So we're going to talk about that tonight, and we haven't had her for a while. Would love to have her back, and we're going to put her on and give her the floor as much as possible so that our listeners can benefit about communicating with animals.
All right.
And I believe she might have a co-author on the line also, too.
Yeah, I do see another number, so I'll go ahead and bring them both on right now.
Okay.
And they're both on. Hello.
Hello.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know
whether Hi, Karen.
I'm on or not, but if I'm on, I don't know what you want me for. But I like your show and I like being on, so here I am. Okay.
Awesome.
Hey guys, it's Karen, and that's Dr. Patricia Carrington joined us tonight. Hey, how's it going, everyone? Thanks for having us on.
Really good. I don't know about you, Karen, but the energies are pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely feeling it. There's been like a very strange, I can only say like atmospheric pressure that I felt, and it's not a bad pressure. It's just a strong pressure. Really cool. It's just, I love it. I'm really excited about the eclipse tomorrow.
Now, are you going to stand, or are you going to stay put to your house?
Oh, no, I'm staying put. Stand right here.
Good for you. So we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about your new book and what it's about, and we'll just go from there.
Well, that's great, and I'm really excited that Dr. Patricia Carrington joined us tonight, because we have a book that, well, she wrote and I collaborated with her on it, and so we have a lot to talk about tonight.
Wonderful.
Awesome. So I guess we can kind of give the floor to you, maybe just give everybody a little bio about yourself, or actually both of you, whoever wants to start, just kind of give it a little introduction to expand upon what Sherry said earlier. So whoever wants to start.
Absolutely. Dr. Carrington, why don't you go first?
All right. Well, I'll go first because I guess my book has come out. It's now in Kindle. And it will be out in Create Space. Amazon's going to publish it pretty soon. So it's just such a cool book, honestly. It is fun, but it is fascinating because it has not just exclusively, but almost exclusively, Karen Anderson's stories in it, true stories of animals she has talked with, both on this side and the other side. And it is just about as fascinating as you can get, except that it's even more because I took over the part of the book, and it's about half the book or a third of the book or something of that sort, where we talk about the things people can do to help their animals once they know how to communicate with them and know the kinds of things to look for. What to do when an animal is lost. What to do when an animal passes over. What to do when an animal has showing difficult behavior. What to do when an animal knows too much about your pet, knows too much about you, which can be very inconvenient. And of course, as you may or may not know, Karen was at one time in the police force. She'll tell you which I never can remember which state, but it doesn't make any difference. She was a police officer, and she was found that she could talk to animals at the scene of crime and get a tremendous amount of information because they never blame anyone, and they don't blame anyone. They don't blame their master or mistress for doing anything. They don't see crime. They're not into blame. They're just not. Animals are not, which is one of the wonderful qualities they have. And I myself got extremely interested in the parapsychological angle here of the animals when my cat in 2015, was it 2015? Well,
yeah,
I can't even.
It was.
Yeah,
it was 2015.
It seems hard to keep track of, actually. When my very dear cat, a 16-year-old, passed on, and just before he did, I had to euthanize him, and it was very hard, and I sought out an animal communicator, and the one I settled on was Karen Anderson, because of all the people I phoned, and I phoned a lot of them, because I wanted to know whether I was correct in going ahead with the euthanasia. And she talked to my Dandy, that was the name of my cat, she talked to Dandy and over the phone, not talked to him. Yes, she did. That's right. She communicated with him. And he immediately, poor animal, he said, tell Pat, that's me, that I feel as though I'd been hit in the stomach with a baseball bat. He did have, I didn't tell her. She didn't know it, but consciously at all. She just heard this from Dandy. But Dandy had been diagnosed with colon cancer.
and he had a very limited time to be on this earth, and he was in essence begging her to help him just pass over because he needs it so badly. And I had known he was putting his paws up on my blue jeans all the time, something he'd never done during his life, and putting his, trying not to scratch me or hurt me in any way, but he wanted my attention, and he would stare into my eyes pleadingly, and that's why I called her. So anyway, we found out that he needed to go, and I made my plans for that. But
mm-hmm. Karen, can I ask you something? When animals, generally speaking, when they're, you know, really ill, whether they have cancer or liver failure, kidney failure, you name it, do you feel that animals usually want to go? Do you find that there's that time where they're just ready, they can go either way? I mean, they don't want to be in suffering, but do you find that they're ready to go when they don't have the quality of life?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, every animal is different, so I'll talk tonight in generals, generally speaking, because, you know, every situation is unique. But the one thing to remember is that an animal does not look at the quantity of time they're here to represent a successful and happy life. They view their time here as the quality as being the most important. How good do they feel when they're here? It's a human concept to think that we have to live a long time to have a happy and successful
mm-hmm.
life. Animals are not that way at all. They just want to feel good when they're here. They don't want to feel good or be stuck in a body that is failing them any longer than any of us want to. And they are much more accepting of the dying process and of death than humans are. They're very accepting of it. They take it in stride. They don't get stressed about it. What they get stressed about is when we stress out about them dying.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
They can feel
that's
our emotions,
yeah.
Especially if we're, you know, anxious or feeling grief. So they pick up on that pretty much.
Well,
they
anyway,
do.
They do. And they pick up on it tremendously. And what happened here was fascinating. I have written several books. I am a psychologist. I work with positive psychology. I work with stress management. Okay. And I didn't know that my cat, Dandy, knew that. I had no idea that he realized that. I know he knew that I sat in front of the computer a lot, which he wasn't too much in favor of. But he didn't know that I, as far as I knew, what my profession was as a psychologist. Well, I'm very well known as a psychologist, but I didn't expect my cat to have to know that. I mean, he has another side of me that he saw. So anyway, but he suddenly interrupted Karen as she was talking to me, pretty much what she's saying now about euthanasia and about the acceptance of the passing, all of those easy things that animals do that we don't do very well at all. And suddenly he said to her, tell Pat that after I pass over, I want to help her with her work. And so Karen was a little baffled. Karen didn't know what I did as at work, so she didn't know whether I was a bricklayer or a registered nurse, and she didn't know I was a psychologist. So she just passed it along to me, and I said, oh, my God, that doesn't make sense to me. How could he help me with my work when I am a psychologist? And she said, I don't know. We'll find out. And we didn't know. We didn't find much more that day. But the very next day, a friend of mine who has a spirit guide whom I've known, I can say I've known the spirit guide for years. I've known her to be consulting with the spirit guide for years. And she told me that her spirit guide was telling her that after he passed over, my cat, Dandy, wanted to write a book with me, help me write a book on animals that would explain many things that people don't ordinarily know about them. So I said, oh, my goodness, this is double confirmation. My friend hadn't known what Karen had said. So it was a bit, it was more than coincidence, obviously, that they mm-hmm. both were reporting from my cat, Dandy, that he wanted to help me. And I thought this doesn't make sense, and then I realized what a wise being he really was. And he was a darling cat, I knew that. But I didn't know that he knew as much wisdom and understanding as he had. And as after he passed, which was a very quiet passing, and it was on Good Friday of that year, strangely, I hadn't even known it was going to be. And he began to give me ideas. I could talk to him. I'd never been able to talk to an animal before, but to my Dandy, yes. And from the other side. And he began telling me the kind of things that people need to know about animals.
Karen,
and
let me ask you something. Can I? What do you think that animals, what is the thing that they like to come across with us? I mean, what would you say the most single thing that we overlook that they want to communicate with us?
Oh, well, let me think here for a second. Are you talking about animals that are alive?
Alive.
Okay, let me see here. I think probably the most common thing that they share with me is that they pick up on our stressors. So, for instance, if you have an animal that is having a health issue, or a behavioral problem, let's say, because those seem to be the two most predominant reasons why people contact me for a session. The animals I find are usually doing exactly what I would expect them to do, being an animal in our household or in our life or whatever. It's the human that I have to work with and get them to understand the behaviors. And the animals are so sensitive to us because they love us so much, our pets do, that they get really mixed messages from us. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that they tell me is that we send so many messages to our pets, including like if we're stressed out about a behavioral problem or a health issue. So what we can do to help them and to help the communication is we can be very clear in our thoughts and always think in terms of positives. What do you want to have happen? Picture your pet as happy, healthy, and whole. Picture your pet not having that behavior problem. We tend to focus, as humans, we tend to focus on the negatives of what we don't want, and that's very confusing to the animals. So does that make sense, Sherry?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Do you think that animals like routine, especially dogs?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. They love things. They love to know what's coming up next. They like to have everything the same way. I mean, they're very much creatures of habit. I know even my own critters are very much a creature of habit. So, yeah, they don't like a change in their routine. They don't like a change in their schedule. They like to know exactly what's happening, and you know they really do kind of I won't say they misbehave, but they'll act out or they'll start showing signs of stress or other problems when we change their pattern and their routine. And like if we go on vacation, you know, that really can mess up our animals. I know it messes up mine.
I know. I remember when Meow Meow was alive, and I believe, you know, we've known each other for a long, long time, and I remember when I first consulted you, I think about 15 years ago with Meow Meow, I remember that when we would be gone, you know, out of the country or vacation or on business or something, he's gone, and he had an attitude. It's like, well, you're home. It's about time, and he wouldn't even come to you, and he's going, Meow, Meow. And it's like he's scolding you for leaving him out on his own, you know. So animals do. They're very sensitive creatures.
Oh, yes. And some will punish their human counterparts for being gone. I have once somebody very close to me, as a matter of fact, when he would come back from being gone, his cat, Thomas, would bite him pretty hard. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not happy with you, Tom.
That is disapproval. Yeah, that's disapproval.
Right?
Yep. I want to just say something, and then I'll step back and let you tell your fascinating stories, because they are. But I want to mention that, in a sense, this book has been written by three entities. One is myself, well, I was directed to do it by my cat. The other is Karen Anderson, who came in and gave her wealth of understanding to the book and stories. And the third is a cat, and he is not even a cat on this earth now. He's on the other side. A cat has done wonders, I think, a great deal in shaping the book. And also I want to say that now, I was on once before on your show to talk very briefly about this, but it hadn't been published yet. It is now in Kindle form. You can get it on Amazon. It is called The Secret Inner Life of Pets. The Secret Inner Life of Pets. And it has a picture of a dog in the front of it, actually. Doesn't mean it's exclusively dogs at all, because it has a picture of my cat as on the dedication page. I just want to say that it is now available as The Secret Inner Life of Pets on Amazon, and that's important to know. And then I'm going to step back and let both Karen and all of you as interviewers get out of her some of the fascinating stories that are in her, and the story about her new book too, and all of this. So, and I just want to remind people that I think one of the main values of my book, The Secret in Our Life of Pets, the word secret has to be there, is the fact that I give so much psychological advice and little exercises for pet owners that they've found enormous relief from that book so far. And it's only just come out very recently. So I say my little say about it, and now I'm going to stand back and listen, okay?
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's really a fantastic book. I'm excited. I can't wait, Dr. Pat, to actually have the soft cover in my hand. So I'm very anxious. I know many, many of my clients who've already pre-ordered the book are anxious for that soft cover to come out. But the Kindle version is out, so everyone can check it out, The Secret Inner Life of Pets by Dr. Patricia Carrington. It's really wonderful. She has all kinds of different choices and methods in there with all of her training, and they're great methods to help you develop a closer bond with your pet. And don't we all want to develop a closer bond with our pets? I know I do. So it's really a wonderful book. It's got tons and tons and tons of stories in it. And
Karen, what are the things that you know, when I ask questions, I may know some of the answers, but it's just for listeners, you know, that don't know about this stuff. What can we do to bond, you know, whether it's a dog or animal? What can we do as humans to bond with our animals, or what can we do to help them evolve and become better pets?
Well, I think the one thing to realize is that we have to put their needs first. We have them in our lives, we have them in our homes, and sometimes we start to think of them as our human children, and we kind of expect them to be human children and have human needs and human feelings. And while pets do have many of the same feelings that we have, they definitely have different needs. And I think it's important to make sure that you, as a pet parent, that you are making sure that you're doing everything that you can for that particular animal, cat, dog, horse, parrot, reptile, whatever you have. Make sure that you're doing the very best that you can to support them for whatever that particular animal needs in their life. and don't expect them to figure things out on their own, or don't expect them to follow the rules when you haven't showed them what the rules are. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I see when I have clients that schedule sessions with me, is they want me to tell their pet to stop doing something. Can you tell them to stop doing this, or tell them to stop doing that? And it's like, well, you know, I could probably tell them to stop doing it, but let's look at what you can do going forward so you can help your animal understand what you want from that particular pet. So that's a lot of what I do, and I think that's a lot kind of overlooked. We as humans get so busy in our life, and we want our animals to just kind of do what we want them to do and figure it out on their own. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And when they don't, we get really frustrated. And I think that's where we can be a better pet parent, is we can make sure that we're taking care of their needs first. If you take care of your pet's needs first, you will be less likely to have any behavioral problems or health issues down the road, because they're going to be happy and well-adjusted and not feeling like they're in trouble or they're not supposed to be doing something. And just be very clear when you're around your pet. Make sure that you're always thinking in terms of what you want them to do. If you're having a cat that's not going in the litter box, you know, are you picturing the cat not using the box? That's usually what we do. We're picturing, oh no, where has he gone this time? Or where did she go potty this time, not in the litter box? So we're picturing exactly what we don't want, and then we're bringing that energy home to them, and so they pick up on that energy and they get those images because they can read our minds like a book, and so they get misguided and misinformation. So I think that would probably be my recommendation, is just be sure that you're taking care of their needs first and being very clear on what you want, or what you want the end result to be. Those are the top things I think we can do as pet parents.
What do you think about that, Jason?
I find it very interesting. You know, I live in a house with three cats, which I love. I'm a cat person, so I just love cats. I never really got into dogs. But I was wondering, if are all animals able to communicate or at the same level, like a mouse versus a dog? Like, can they all kind of provide the same amount of information when you're communicating with them?
Well, I will tell you, and that's a great question, but I will tell you that, you know, the majority of my work is done with people's pets. So I have communicated with wild animals in the past, just here around, because I live in eastern Washington. I live in the mountains out in a very remote area. But the majority of my work is focused around pets. And can you get the same information? Well, you know, if I connect with a deer out in my front yard, they're not going to be able to tell me what happened in the household yesterday because they weren't in the household. So that's where the information is a little bit different. If that animal is around you 24/7 or for most of the time that you're awake and doing things, they can tell me a lot more things than, let's say, that mouse or that deer or a wild animal or somebody that doesn't spend a lot of time with you. So does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, the bond that develops between a companion animal versus, you know, something random out in the,
exactly.
Out in the wild.
Exactly.
It would be awesome,
I'm going to get a lot more information from your three cats, and they can tell me a lot more about you and what you're doing, what's going on in the household, than, for instance, you know, if I connected with a mouse that's hanging out in your garage or something like that. they can still tell me things, and they will. They'll tell me things, but it will be very, it won't be meaningful to you. It won't make a whole lot of sense to you because you don't spend a lot of time with that animal. So I hope that explains it.
I got a question for you, and Karen, you know, have you ever had people go and come up to you for a reading, and they'll ask you, you know, and you feel like you're being tested for accuracy? How do you deal with people that, you know that you're an animal communicator or a psychic medium, and want to try and test you to see what you know. How do you deal with it? What's your take on that?
Oh, please don't test me. Oh, I've been doing this for a long time, Sherry, and, you know, I can spot that a mile away. So, you know, here's what I tell people. You know, we all want to have, like, we want to tell our pet the secret code or something before we call me for a session. We all want that. We all want to have that moment where we go, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what I told my cat or dog or horse to say before I called in. You know, sometimes I pull a rabbit out of a hat and I can do that. Sometimes I can. It just depends on the animal and what they want to tell me. I can only share with you what they want to tell me and what I'm able to pick up on as I open up the space and read the energy. And animals, I don't know about you guys. I know my pets have a different agenda than I do, but most of the time, they want to talk about their favorite topic, and it may not be your favorite topic or the topic that you wanted to call in and talk to me about. It could be something completely different because their number one thing that pets want to talk about is themselves, but it may not be the thing that you want to talk about that
pet. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, so if somebody wants to test me, you know, I really frown upon that. I can sense it a mile away, and it really is, it's not necessary. I can get so much other good information during a session. You won't even need to test me. Just sit back and be open to the process and understand that, you know, the animals are going to send me messages. I need the person's help in understanding what some of those messages mean because the messages aren't meant for me. They're meant for the client. So
I find it very disrespectful, and that's how I feel, you know, when somebody's trying to test, you know, to see if you know that. Or like you said, oh, is there a certain number is going to come up that you know,
right.
You know it's going to be validated. That, you know, spirit or animals don't talk that way. Just
they
a
don't.
Lot of people don't get it.
You can sit there for, you know, however many hours, minutes, weeks before a session and tell your animal, okay, when I call Karen Anderson for a pet session, you have to say, you know, the secret squirrel handshake password. And, you know, there's a chance I could get it. There is a chance. And like I said, sometimes I do get stuff. But that's not fun, and that's not what the session is about. A session is about, let's see what the animal wants to talk about. What's important to your pet? What does your pet want you to know? Is there a health issue? Is there something else going on? Is there something maybe you can do for them to make their life better and more meaningful? You know, let's talk about the really important things. Do we really want to sit here and play test the psychic? I would really frown upon that. And like you said, Sherry, it is disrespectful. You know, I've been doing this now for 20 years, and you get to a point where it's like, you know, that really isn't why I'm here, and I really recommend not doing that. Please don't do that.
Definitely, yeah, you cut the session off, you know, because they're not going to be open to that. Absolutely.
Exactly, and
you know,
right, no matter what I say, it's never going to be the answer they're looking for. You can't expect a certain answer. Even when I go for a reading, which I don't get nearly as many readings as I would like because I'm always doing readings for other people. But when I go for a session, I go in and I just have an open mind to whatever message needs to come through that I need to hear. It may not be something that was on the forefront of my mind. It might be something on the forefront of my mind, but I'm open to whatever comes in. And sometimes it's the message that you were least expecting that has the most impact on you. And you'll miss that entirely if you're still focused on that, you know, secret password that you told your pet. So,
exactly.
You know, you'll miss a really good opportunity, in my opinion. So, but that's a really good question. And I think anybody who does psychic work and psychic readings, you know, I think we all feel the same way, that it really is frustrating for us when a client will do that. And, you know, just be open to the process and bring good energy to a session. You have to bring good energy to a session. Don't expect a certain answer because you'll only be disappointed.
Absolutely.
I would imagine there's a lot of people that are skeptical, and Sherry kind of went into the question that I had was dealing with skeptics, and like, how does somebody know that communicates with their animals that it's not just something being fabricated in their own mind? And you kind of hit on the fact of, you know, yes, sometimes there's these aha moments, but if I wanted to learn how to communicate with, say, the cats here, how do I know I'm not just self-generating some sort of internal dialogue or anything like that? Like, how do I know I've really made a connection?
Well, Jason, that's a really good question, and it takes practice, just like any other skill. If you were to go out and learn how to play the piano, if you were to go to learn how to play golf, any other skill that you apply yourself to, the more you practice, the better you become, the more adept you are, the sharper your skills are. And the same is true with communicating with animals. I teach courses. I do private mentoring on animal communication, and it takes practice. When I first started out, it was kind of like a lot of information coming in that I didn't always understand, because it doesn't always come in your frame of reference of what makes sense to you. It'll make sense to the client, but it won't make sense to me. So I had to learn to just deliver the information as I was getting it, and then to trust what I was getting. But for you, as somebody who wants to learn how to do this, how do you know this, not just ramblings in your head? Well, part of psychic information is ramblings in your head. That's part of how information comes through. And the more you pay attention to it, the more you can see how it does fit and it does make sense, and you are having information downloaded to you from your spirit guides, or like if you're communicating with an animal, it sounds like my own voice in my own head when I communicate with an animal. So I had to learn what was my thought versus what wasn't my thought, and that took a lot of practice. Now it's easy. I mean, Sherry, mm-hmm. you know how it is. It's not your thought, and it's easy to differentiate between the two.
Channeling, yeah, exactly. So, Karen, what do you think about, you know, like Cesar Millan? I've seen him in many shows, and, you know, with animals, the first thing that they like is consistency, discipline, and love, in that order. Do you feel the same way?
Yes, I'm a big fan of Cesar Millan's. He was the first, I don't even know if I call him a trainer, but he's the first person on TV that I saw that understood energy. So I'm a fan of his because he understands energy, and he really does honor the animal first, and he doesn't expect the animal to figure things out. In fact, he discourages that. He wants the human to take control and do the thinking. And so I'm a big fan of his. I think that he has a lot of really good information, and I love how he understands that, you know, animals react to your energy, what you bring to that animal. Every time you come home from work, anytime you're going through a stressful situation, or even when you're suffering from a loss, your pets at home absorb your energy like a sponge, and you can really affect them to the point where I have found animals that have health issues because they're so stressed out from their pet parent, and it manifests into a health issue. So
it's terrible. You know, you see some people, and I've known people, which is awful, Karen, where, you know, they yell at their animals like they're children, and they're yelling on top of their lungs, come over here, get out of the way, or this and that. And it's like, wow, you know, if they are an example of being that way as a pet, you know, as a fur parent, I can imagine how they are with their, if they had real kids.
Oh yeah, I hear you on that, and it's frustrating to see that as well. You know, and just how people in general tend to, like I said, they expect their pet to figure it out, or they expect their pet to know. And we really have to stop for a minute and go, hold on a second. You know, this is my dog, this is my cat or horse or whatever, parrot. They have a level of intelligence, absolutely, some more so than others. But they are so sensitive to us and how we treat them and where we are emotionally and how balanced we are. I'll tell you a secret here. I can always tell how balanced the pet parent is by how balanced the animal is. So when I open up to the energy, if the animal comes through all cattywampus and, you know, the energy feels all mixed up, I know exactly, I can trace that right back to the pet parent. So they're like our little barometers. They are a true reflection. If we're balanced and happy and things are going good in our lives, so too will our animals. If we're out of balance and things aren't right and we're struggling and having issues, so too will our pets. So it's the apple doesn't fall far from that tree.
Yes, I absolutely agree 100%. You know, animals are a byproduct of their fur parents. Absolutely. So you can't blame
them.
Go ahead, Jason.
Is there any danger? Is there any danger to channeling these pets? Like, could you inadvertently channel some sort of, I don't know, for lack of better words, like an evil spirit or anything like that? Or any consequences to opening yourself up?
Never. Animals are the purest form of love, and they are as close to God and our Creator as you can get, in my opinion. And they are truly the most amazing, love-filled, light-filled beings, more so than humans. They really do radiate love. So when you connect with an animal the way I do, I work off of a photograph. That's how I train myself to communicate, and I love to look at their eyes. It's, for me, a photograph is like having that pet's cell phone number, and I can just dial up the energy. So it's very direct, Jason. It's like if I picked up the phone right now and dialed your number, I'm not going to get a demon. I'm going to get Jason, because I'm dialing your number. So it's basically the same way with an animal. And you know, you develop a routine where, as you are learning how to do this, you make sure that you are surrounded and protected, and you say your prayers and your blessings, and you do your saging and all of the things that you do before any communication session. And I don't work with dark entities. I work with animals and departed humans. So if my intention is to connect with that animal, I'm not going to get a bad spirit, because that's not my intention, and I don't let them into my space, and I have my protection around me, and my spirit guides and angels watch over. So there's never a risk. Now, if you're willy-nilly, don't know what you're doing, and you're out there dabbling and conjuring, heck yeah, you're going to get yourself into hot water. But that's not what I do. I'm very specific. I've been doing the same steps and the same routine and the same technique for over 20 years now, and I have never had one single pet come through that was anything but the purest and most amazing light-filled being. Now, I can't say that about the humans I've connected with. You know, the human spirits are a whole different story. But, no, animals are pure love, pure light.
Have you ever read about an animal who was kind of vicious or biting other people? Have you ever read an animal like that?
Yes, and they very much don't apologize for what they do. I've had animals that have been euthanized for attacking or various other situations like that. They never apologize for their behavior. They feel very justified in whatever they do. You know, they don't reason. like a human being reasons, and they don't say, oh gosh, if I bite one more person, they're going to kill me. You know, they don't do that. They're very reactive, and they're very instinctual, and most animals do things out of instinct. Mother Nature is the driving force. There isn't a little conscience in there going, well, I should do this or I shouldn't do that. No, they're very instinctual, and that's what they act upon, and that's what we need to remember as a pet parent. We cannot leave the decision-making up to our pets. We have to take responsibility for them, and that way we have a very happy and well-adjusted pet. They want us to be in charge. Don't let your pet take over.
And that's probably why there's a lot of animals that will come over and, you know, as a runner, I've been afraid, you know, running at times because you can see that the dog is at large. And when they're coming at you and you stop, there's a couple times I thought I was going to lose an arm. And they come after you and they're showing teeth. That's pretty
scary.
Oh,
yeah. It's
and
really
they,
scary.
I always say, Karen, it's always the typical, oh, don't worry, my dog won't bite. Yeah, well,
right.
When they're there, they won't, but... You know, when they're
right.
not there and they're, you know, whether they're on a chain or they're, you know, at large, that you, how do you know they're not going to bite?
in my opinion, every dog has the capability of biting, and only the dog can determine if it's going to bite or not. I know, I love that, too. Oh, my dog doesn't bite. Right.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Famous last words. I hear you. I got chased
my dog's
down.
Harmless.
I was riding here locally. I was riding my bike, and I got chased down. Man, I've never pedaled so hard in my whole life. This dog was on me. He was, like, so, like, on my heels, nipping and coming after me, and, man, I was pedaling as fast as I could. Yeah, it was really scary, and, you know, it wasn't – I'd walked up to this dog in person, and he was fine with me in person, but it was the movement of the bicycle. It wasn't me, the person. It was the movement, and instinctually his brain just clicked, and it was like, go after bicycle. And that's what he did, and no amount of animal communication was going to save me from that moment. I just had to pedal like crazy to get out of there.
You're lucky. My daughter,
yeah.
She had this.
So yeah, it's you know, you can't mess with Mother Nature. It's a powerful force, and animals are going to do what they're going to do, and it's up to us to control them.
Yes, it's up to the owners. Exactly. Go ahead, Jason.
I just thought of a question. So now we're talking about communicating with companion animals, but we're omnivores. We also eat animals, or at least most people, or a lot of people do. Is there an issue with the fact that we eat animals in our diet?
Well, I'm sure to the animal there's an issue, but be more specific with that. Well, tell me more specifically what you're looking
well,
for.
Well, it just seems to me, you know, since you're talking about communicating with animals, that, you know, we eat a lot of animals. And so when I think about that somebody can communicate with an animal and connect with an animal, it just doesn't seem so cool that, you know, we go out and eat hamburgers and steaks, because then suddenly it makes me believe that there's, you know, some sort of spirit or more intelligent than just being an animal. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it just seems a little,
okay.
Maybe I should just become a vegetarian.
Well, you know, and I understand. I completely understand. And yes, there is an entire issue around that. And it certainly does make one stop and think about what it is that they're putting in their mouth and what they're consuming, and, you know, just the treatment of factory farmed animals. I mean, that is a whole other issue, and it's a big deal. And it's an important issue, and it certainly is one, I think, that is a personal decision, and you have to do what is right for you and right based on your beliefs and what, you know, I don't judge anybody based on what they eat or don't eat, and I wouldn't want anybody to judge me for anything that I would do either. It's a personal choice, and you just have to do what feels right in your heart and understand, sure, that every single animal on this planet has a spirit and has feelings and wants to live. So it does make you stop and think about those things, absolutely.
Because I think myself, probably in the majority of people out there. You know, when you go shopping at the store, you know, you're just buying steak or hamburger, but you're not thinking about the sores or what the animal had to endure. And I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It just popped into my head. I just started thinking about it.
Well, that's a very emotionally charged topic for sure. And, you know, it's an important one. And yeah, I mean, those were living creatures at one time that are wrapped up in cellophane and, you know, in the meat case. Absolutely.
But, you know, when you think about the Native Americans, you know, they eat their, you know, they hunt and things like that. But, you know, their idea of eating, and this is just an overview, but they honor the animals they eat. They pray to them and they honor them and give them thanks for being able to sacrifice, you know, their diet or whatever, and they have such a spiritual awareness of the spirit of each animal that they eat. They don't take it for granted like us. Not saying we do, but some of us would go out and just like you said, get a package of hamburger, blah blah blah. Whereas the natives or some other cultures, they honor the spirit of the animal and they ask for forgiveness or thank them or whatever, bless them, whatever, before they eat the meat. So I think it's your intention.
It is, and it's very much, you know, it's a personal choice and it's what feels right to you and, you know, what resonates in your heart.
So what's the most unusual animal that you have communicated with, Karen?
Oh, you mean other than the human being?
Yes, and other than a cat and dog.
Oh, let's see. You know, that's an interesting topic because, you know, animals are so forthcoming. They don't have an agenda. They'll just tell it like it is. And Dr. Pat was telling this earlier, you know, even when I was a police officer and there were animals on crime scenes, they would tell me who the bad guy was or who the bad girl was. There was no, you know, oh, gosh, I can't rat out my mom or I can't rat out my dad. They would just tell me, oh, you know, she did it or he did it or whatever it was. Where a human animal will lie, 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 lie. You know, it's like, it's so interesting how the animal is so much more forthcoming and truthful and honest than the human animal. I think it's interesting anyway. But
that's awesome. Yeah, they have no agenda. And they don't.
And they just share what happens. They just talk about it. Okay, so your question was the most unusual animal. Well, I'm going to go with a pet because that's really what my work is based on, people's pets. So the most unusual animal I ever communicated with was, well, there's two of them. One I'm not going to remember the name of because it's only in Australia, and it looks kind of like a sloth, but it's not a sloth. But I communicated with that, and it was in a rescue facility because these things are on the extinction list. And yeah, so I communicated with that. It wasn't really a pet, but it was the volunteer there just adored this little slothy thing, and it adored her. So I communicated with that. It was very intelligent, and it knew what was going on, which is really cool. And then other than that, there was a hedgehog. I had a client with this little 3-year-old hedgehog.
A hedgehog,
right? Yes. So I know, just when you think you've heard it all. And here's the really fun part. This little hedgehog had a British accent. And I can't do it. I'm horrible at trying to repeat what it said, but it was just hysterical, and I was just cracking up the whole time because this thing had a British accent. I'm like, where did this accent come from? Animals usually speak to me, like I said, in my voice, in my head, so it's like, you know, like I'm hearing the thought, but it's in my voice, and here comes this little hedgehog with this little British accent, and just everything it said sounded really cool because it was had the accent. But
wow,
anyway,
that was the strangest one. Are animals forgiving after they've been through abuse and they've been euthanized or died? Are generally they, you know, they're forgiving?
Well, Jason, did you say we're out of time, or I'm sorry?
Yeah, well, we have a few minutes left, and I wanted to give you both an opportunity to where people can get the book or any websites or anything that they can learn more information or use your services.
Oh, sure.
Well,
Dr. Carrington, are you still hanging out
I'm
there?
I'm right here.
Okay.
I love this whole show tonight. I think it's telling me a lot of things that I needed to know, wonderful stuff. Yeah, well, I would leave it up to Amazon. The only thing you have to do is go to Amazon, and sometimes they let you click on that animal thing, too, where you can donate to animals. And not always. They don't always let you do that. But the point is that Amazon will tell you, but you've got to remember the name or my name. I mean, I think it's easier to remember the name of the book, The Secret Inner Life of Pets. That's what it is. And it is absolutely a wonderful book, if I say it myself. And I think my cat Dandy Spirit is showing in the book, in its wisdom, in telling people how they can get closer to their pets. And it's just a lovely book for that reason, because it has so many practical exercises in it, as well as loads of fascinating information. But it is, remember the word secret, the secret in a life of your pet. And Amazon will take care of getting it to you real fast, and I think that's the way to go.
Well, thank you, Pat, for coming on our show. We appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you. I think you're great. Yeah.
I got to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a psychology author named Carol Wade?
Never, ever heard of her. What does she do? There's a lot of psychologists.
She writes psychology textbooks. Anyways, it's my mom, so I was just curious if you had ever heard of her.
Oh, how nice. Hey, that's really nice. Great. So your mom writes textbooks. Well, I've been a teacher for a long time. I taught at Princeton University and then at Rutgers Medical School and so forth. I've taught for years, and a good textbook is a very, very useful thing in this world and in this profession. So I greet your mother secondhand here. I think that's great.
She's apparently, she just recently retired. I mean, you know, she's in her 70s, but she's pretty big in that whole thing with books and stuff like that. But but I do want to thank you for taking the time to coming on. And then was there any other means to learn about communicating with pets, either of you, if people wanted to get more information?
Well, yeah, let me give them my website. It's KarenAnderson.net, and there's all the different types of sessions I offer on there. There's human sessions, personal insight sessions, so take a look at the website, KarenAnderson.net. I'm also working on my next book, which is due to come out here if I would ever stop editing it, and it's called The Amazing Afterlife of Animals, The Amazing Afterlife of Animals. And if you follow me on Facebook or if you sign up for my free email newsletter, you will get a notice when that's going to be ready to come out, hopefully soon. And I'm really excited about it. It's kind of a follow-up to my first book, which is called Hear All Creatures, which is also available on Amazon and Kindle. And this one is all about animals in the afterlife and their wisdom and the amazing things they know about us and how completely and deeply they love us and stay connected to us from the other side. But thank you guys so much for having us both on tonight. It's really been fun, and I hope we get to come back again soon.
We will.
Absolutely.
We will have you on.
Oh, yeah. And could I say in addition that we have that I didn't give my own website. I get so interested in what you're doing that I just talk about that and I forget to promote myself. But
my website is has wonderful things, and it's simply my name. It's patcarrington.com. Patcarrington.com has all kinds of brand new anti-stress things, because I'm a stress expert, an anti-stress expert, I guess you'd say. And I think you'll love some of the free things there and some of the advice and help that is right on that site, patcarrington.com. So now I said what I needed to say about myself. And I love the show, and I think it was a wonderful presentation tonight. I just think it was great.
Me yeah, too.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Sherry and Jason. You guys are awesome.
Hey,
thanks for having us on.
We're done. That flew by fast.
It was fun. All righty. Well, we'll wrap it up. And hey, Sherry, what do we got for next week?
Well, looks like we're going to have Eric Mitchell. Eric Mitchell is one of the abductees, a true abductee from, I think he's out of Vegas. So we're going to have Eric Mitchell and a very good friend with, what's that other guy that was, what's his name that you know? He's been on Coast to Coast many, many times. He's very personal friends with. What's that abductee, Jason? You know, you mentioned the name.
Yeah, it was a movie called Fire in the Sky was based on him. I'm trying to search my memory banks.
He's very good friends with Travis Walton. Personal friends with Travis Walton. So Eric Mitchell, personal friend of mine, he's going to be coming back. Going to have him. It's been a while, and love his energy. He's just amazing. So we're going to have Eric Mitchell come back on the show. It's been a while.
Outstanding. All right. Well, if that's it, we'll close the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. And, it's been great and a fun episode to learn about animal communication. And everybody that's going to watch the eclipse, hopefully it won't be the end of the world or anything. But, make sure to wear your glasses. I'll be sleeping through it, so.
Yeah, I'm going to be running. I'll be running on the country roads. So anyway, hey, everybody stay safe. Enjoy, just stay put, and, just be careful. Be safe.
All right. We'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, and hope everybody has an outstanding and safe week. Good night, everyone.
Hey, good night, everybody. Peace.